Well, good morning again, everyone. Let's turn to that passage in Luke chapter 12. And we're going to explore this a little more. I received a meditation from a friend this week. He had gone back to where his family had come from, his mother's family in Wales. And he'd just been traveling around remembering things that had happened in his life. And remembering his grandparents and some of his aunts and uncles and his experience in Wales and just reflecting on how things had changed and how nothing was the same. And it was quite a melancholic reflection. And then at the end, as he moved towards it, he said, you know, it reminds me of the psalmist who says that our days are but grass. And then he says, but the Lord remembers me. And in that, in the remembrance of God and the significance that I have to God, I find reassurance. And it's true that God remembers us. And this is a vision series that we're doing where we're looking at our calling to be God's people. But it's reassuring to know that God remembers us. You know, sometimes that there's a great tendency in a 21st century context to think that everything is about social construct. It's about what we create, what we generate, what we make. But actually, the essence of it is not what we make or what we do or what we create, but the fact that God remembers us and makes provision for each one of us. And that's the reality. And as a church, as we look at what it means to make a difference both locally and regionally where we live and globally in the world, as we look to make that difference, it's actually remembering that it is about the work of God and it is what God does. And it is the provision of God and the fact that God remembers and acts towards us. Sometimes I'm aware that churches can feel like that they're just an endless cycle of human effort. And I suppose our sort of contemporary theologies generate that sense. And we lose the sense of both God's sovereignty and God's work and operation within the world. Last weekend we had a baptism and it was brilliant to watch baptism. Because baptism is a sign of God's intervention in the world. In Judaism, people used to baptize themselves. There was a ceremonial cleansing that went on. You would go into the water and you would dip three times and you would be ceremonially cleansed. But when John the Baptist and Jesus came along, people started to be baptized by others. And that was significant because what they were saying was God is intervening here. God is at work. God is making provision. And what we have to understand as we reflect on the vision of SBC is that it's not about what the leadership generates. It's not about what I generate or any of the other pastors generate. It's actually about what God does and how God works and how God operates. And that what we're trying to do is get on message with what God is doing and how he is working in Stirling and in our communities and in the world. We're trying to, and here Jesus tells a parable. It's prompted by a guy who comes and asks him a question about a division of the inheritance. It may relate back to Deuteronomy, where it talks about a double portion going to the elder son. And maybe he's asking Jesus to revoke the teaching of Deuteronomy and that the estate should be divided equally. We don't really know, but Jesus doesn't engage with it. He takes it to use the opportunity to talk about God's provision and our misunderstanding of that provision. He starts by telling the story of a man who was starting to do fairly well agriculturally. His crops were growing, things were going well, his products were being sold, and he decided to expand his business. And so he decided to buy more land and build bigger barns and expand and expand and expand because he had this vision of what he was going to do, what he was going to achieve, what he was going to accomplish. And Jesus said the man was a fool because he didn't understand that he actually existed by God's permission. And that at any moment, his life could be taken from him. And he says that very night, his life was taken from him. He didn't understand how completely his existence and his life was dependent on God. That it is the fact that God remembers us that sustains us. And our world has deeply missed the point, and it's forgotten this. And part of this expression is that we never see beyond ourselves. This man certainly never saw beyond himself. I'm reminded of an epitaph that once was done. And it was written up, it was about a lady called Edith, and it said, "Edith lived in a little world bounded on north, south, east, and west by Edith." And are we a wee bit like that sometimes? Our world is so focused in on ourselves. In this parable that Jesus talks about, or this illustration, if you go through and you underline, "I, me, my, mine," you know, that's what it's all about here. It's all about me, mine, what I'm going to do. And there's no sense of being dependent on God. Remember in the teaching of James, he actually warns, he says, look, you be smart. Don't say, "I'm going to do this tomorrow," or "I'm going to do that tomorrow." He says, "If God wills." One of the nice things in interacting with Muslim cultures is they have a lovely phrase, "Inshallah," which means "God willing." And I remember coming back actually from one of my travels, and I was staying in Luton. It was Luton, eh? I was staying in a hotel there. And I remember talking to the guy, and we talked about something. I can't remember quite what it was. Maybe it was visiting somewhere. And he replied, "Inshallah." And that was in Luton. And it wasn't very far away. But I thought, yeah, isn't that right? Inshallah. You've got a greater sense of your dependency on the Almighty God sustaining your plans and what you're going to do than I have, because I think I can design things. And what Jesus is saying here really clearly is that you cannot design things. We think that money somehow is some kind of insurance policy in our society. We think if we accumulate as much money as possible, it will give us security. But actually, Jesus is saying that the security is not ultimately found in money. There was a Roman proverb which went, "Money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become." And it's really true. But what Jesus is saying is that security is founded not in the accumulation of wealth, but it is founded in your relationship with God. Second thing that this guy never saw was he never saw beyond this world. There's a story of a young man and an old man who were having a dialogue. And the old man turned to the young man and says, "Tell me your plans." And he says, "Well, I'm planning to go and get an education." And the old man said, "And then?" And he said, "Well, I guess with the education, I'm going to get a really good job." And then he says, "And then?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to make loads and loads of money." And then he says, "And then?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to buy the biggest house and the best car that I can. And then I'm going to retire and enjoy all the money that I'm going to make." And the old man says, "And then?" You know, "And then?" You know, the fact is that for all of us, there is "and then." And Jesus is saying that actually what you are building in life needs to match that "and then" question. See, for us as a church, what are we building? It's not just about this world. See, Jesus is affirming that we have to work for things which will last forever, things which you need not leave behind you. There's another good Roman proverb. Lots of Roman proverbs this morning. It says, "There are no pockets in a shroud." And it's really true. You know, we say in our funeral services, you took nothing into the world and you take nothing out. And that's a simple reality. And the question is, what are we building that lasts? You see, Jesus was saying to them, you need to live beyond yourself and you need to work towards stuff that lasts. We need to be working to make a difference in this world, a difference in this world that doesn't just bound by temporal constraints, but actually goes on. You know, the beautiful thing again last week when we saw those baptisms here in the church was that we were affirming a difference that matters in eternity. They were building something that lasts beyond our lives. And here's the question, you know, in terms of how we are using our energies, how we're shaping and directing our lives, what are we building? What are we building in those lives? Are we giving our lives to things that will transcend ourselves, transcend our own existence, that will last beyond us? And the last thing and the most important thing was that this man never understood God's provision. Jesus says to him in very famous words, he says, don't be anxious about what you are going to eat or drink or wear. He uses the illustration of birds. And a couple of weeks ago, we were in Galilee, and there were hundreds of birds on us. Unfortunately, I could invent another proverb. We had a table on a veranda, which was underneath a tree. New proverb, never sit in a table underneath a tree. Wise. Anyway, I got to know those birds very well, and they seem to interact with me rather a lot. But you know, Jesus says, look at these birds. Look at them all. God remembers them and makes provision for them. And you are so much more valuable than those birds. Never forget that God remembers you and makes provision for you. You see, as a church, as we set out into the world to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not in our own effort and our own strength. If we build stuff that way, it will never last and it will just decay. But when we remember God's provision to us and we carry that provision out into the world, that's what brings transformation. You know, this morning we broke bread together, and that bread for Jesus, and in the original context of the Passover, that bread was a symbol of God's provision. Jesus was saying, my death is the provision to you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to transform your life. It's going to bring forgiveness. And you now carry that provision into the world. We literally become the body of Christ out there. And we bring that care and that concern of God to others. You know, as a church, as we reflect on our vision, as we reflect on what God is going to do, and I could this morning, and you'll hear that over the next few weeks, we're going to be reporting back on different areas of ministry. We could think about all those great things. But you know, the most important thing is not that we stand up here and we say we're going to build bigger barns and take more fields, and you know, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. The most important thing is that we remember God's provision and that we build towards eternity in what we are doing. Not for our glory, but for God's glory. Because God remembers us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your wisdom. And I pray for us this morning. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who thinks that you've forgotten them. Lord, I pray for anyone who finds themselves in a situation that they're struggling with, that they just don't feel they can cope with. Lord, I pray for them that they will know that you remember them, that they are valuable, of more worth than birds or anything that flies in the air, that the very heads on their head are counted. Lord, I pray for us as we attempt to make our plans and think our strategic thoughts, Lord. I pray that we will never forget that it is dependent on you and your provision. So, Lord, come and work. We ask this in your name. Amen.